Hello, we do thank you for joining with us today, and we trust that the Lord will bless us this evening as we look at his word together. We do give you a warm word of welcome, especially if you're connected with Achillea Free Presbyterian Church. You may have already noted that the picture is slightly different. We're using a new webcam in the hope that things will be less grainy and a little bit easier for people to watch. We'll soon see how that goes, but we trust that it will go okay for us today. I want to say to the congregation, we trust that you're well. Remember, if there are any issues where you need to speak to me, I'm there on the end of the phone. As you know, we're very limited in travelling and so on these days, but if there's anything that you need to talk about, do not hesitate to get in touch, please, on the phone to us. We trust that we're still praying for each other. Some of the congregation are still unwell, and we're praying that very soon this pandemic will recede, and that there will be days of more freedom, and that the Lord will come in mercy and drive it away. Could I draw your attention just to a couple of things? Please do remember tonight to pray for the other messages that we put up on Monday, Thursday and Friday, and also on the Sunday services. They will be at the usual time, 11:30 and 6:30. We trust that you will tune in and that you will benefit from the word of God. We also want to draw your attention to the fact that Presbytery has organised this coming Saturday as a day of prayer. There will be two sessions, a morning session and an afternoon session. And there are details of that time of prayer on our Facebook page. And you can go in there and you will also see some details on how you can register for Zoom details for whichever of the times of prayer that you wish to be present at. And if you can't come to any of them on Zoom, please do remember to uphold our own work in Achillea in prayer and the need in our whole country at this time, wherever you are on Saturday night. To the congregation, we have been looking for a few weeks, most Wednesday nights, at the book of Habakkuk. We're going to do that just now. We're going to read some verses there at the end of chapter 2. It says in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 18, "What profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it, the molten image, and the teacher of lies, that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols? Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him." Amen. Maybe we could bow together briefly, please, in a wee word of prayer now. Father in heaven, we do thank you for your goodness to us today. Thank you, Lord, for thy presence. Thank you, too, for thy people, that even in this way we can meet together. And Lord, we pray that you'd undertake for each one this evening who will avail themselves of this opportunity, not just to listen to the word, but to seek God's face as God's people. And Lord, as we spend some time between 8 and 9 tonight at the throne of grace, we ask that the Lord might hear for us and that answers would come. Remember those who are unwell. Remember the NHS staff, those, Lord, who are doctors and nurses, consultants, those who are driving the ambulances and all of the others that are involved. And we think of the great pressure they're under and how things might intensify in the next couple of weeks. We pray that you would meet every need, and in and through all of this, that the Lord's name might be glorified. We pray now as we look at the book Habakkuk again for a few moments, the Lord might be pleased to draw near, use his word to instruct us, to help us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. We have been looking at the book Habakkuk, and we have drawn your attention to the fact that Habakkuk, in the beginning of the book, he isn't quite in despair. He really thinks that the Lord isn't listening. And then the Lord says, "I am listening." And the Lord is going to send the enemies of Habakkuk and this people to chasten them greatly. And they would be the instrument that the Lord would use. Habakkuk is also accusing the Lord of not listening very well. And the Lord goes on to assure him that he certainly is listening, because while those who will come and capture Habakkuk's people seem to be in control, God will demonstrate in a very clear and precise way that he is sovereign over all. And he pronounces there in chapter 2 of the book of Habakkuk those woes that we mentioned unto you on another occasion. There are the five woes. In verse 6, there is a woe to do with selfish ambition. In verse 9, the woe to do with actual covetousness. In verse 12, the woe to do with exploitation or behaving very badly towards your fellow man. Then in verse 15, there is the woe to do with drunkenness. And that is one that I would like to maybe major on in one of our Sunday morning meetings in the future. We're not really looking at that tonight. But in 19, verse 19, it says there, woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, and to the dumb stone, arise. And the Lord has pronounced all of these woes that will come against those who are bringing great trouble and being used under the hand of God to chasten Habakkuk's people. It's very notable, and we don't want to forget this, that all of the bad practices that the Chaldeans and so on were involved in, unfortunately, the people that Habakkuk represented were involved in those things in some degree as well. And it always has been a problem for mankind, for Christian people, to keep themselves, to keep that clear line of demarcation between us and the world's ways. And I trust we learn, even as we look at this woe tonight, looking at verses 18 down to the end of chapter 2 there. We have noted again, just to refresh your memory, that there are these woes and God is in control. We need to remember that tonight. Some people are fearing greatly that maybe he's not, that he's given us up altogether, but he hasn't done that. He certainly, we believe, is in control of all that happens in this situation in Northern Ireland. These very strange and challenging times for everyone, the Lord certainly is in control. And I want tonight to draw your attention to this woe regarding idolatry. Could I say, first of all, that I want to mention a definition of it? What is idolatry, really? Well, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 25, we read there of those who changed the truth of God into a lie and served the creature more than the Creator. And that presents to us already a definition of what idolatry is. It is something taking the place of God. And as you read through the Bible, you cannot miss where we read in Isaiah chapter 14 about Lucifer and how Lucifer there fell, how he was cast out of heaven. I'm not going to read all the words. You can read them there yourself. But he was so full of pride. And what we see details of there was, there was a satanic attack upon the throne of God, and Satan and his angels were cast out. And if you follow that up and cross-reference that passage in the Word of God, you will see that idolatry is substituting God with something else. Now, we know that there are very extreme cases of that recorded in the Word of God. And for instance, in Acts chapter 17, when the Apostle Paul there was taking a look back in history, the history there of the Greek people, and he was considering the philosophy and so on that they were involved in. You can read Acts 17 and verse 30 yourself, and you will see there that God's reaction to the people, to how they were behaving, it says, at the times of this ignorance, God winked at. God knows, and he understands, and he is able to detect among any people a substituting of himself with something else. And if we go right forward to the book of Galatians, and we look there in chapter 5, it's a very important part of God's word. I'll turn your mind to it for just a moment. You see in that chapter 5 in the book of Galatians, there's a war going on between the flesh and the spirit, something that you and I are engaged in as well. And we will do battle with the flesh, that's for sure. And Paul, in this passage, he's writing to those who had begun in the Christian race very well, and then they had been held back or hindered there. But he goes on in verse 13 of Galatians 5 to say to his brethren, now these are those who are saved. He's calling them his brethren here. Ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty as an occasion for the flesh, but by love serve one another. Verse 15, he says, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. And verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Fleshly attitude causes great problems. Paul is saying to this assembly of people, it will cause problems among yourselves. It will cause you great problems individually. And right through the chapter there, he is seeking to show them of things that need to be done, that these men and women who are saved, they need to be led of the Spirit, because the opposite to that is fleshly. And he goes on to list some things that are associated with fleshly living. And again, this is something which can affect believers anywhere. A lot of people under considerable distress at the moment, and maybe there's a chance that these things could affect them more now than they formerly did. Maybe people looking for an escape route from stress or for something else to lift their mind from the terrible situation in our whole nation with this pandemic. But the apostle goes on there and he says in verse 19, Galatians 5, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. And then he mentions idolatry. He mentions idolatry. And these are things that he feels that it is necessary that he writes to believers about. And he defines for them. He shows them that idolatry, yes, back in the days of Habakkuk, there were those who had carved out their idols out of wood and out of stone and sometimes out of metal. Sometimes they put the wood and the stone together and covered it in metal. And they had these gods that they worshipped. And that was true. But Paul is writing to the church now in Galatians saying, listen, there's a lot of other things that can captivate our hearts and steal our attention. And he's seeking to give to them, and he does in Galatians 5, a brilliant definition of idolatry. So really he's saying to them that idolatry there is anything that comes in and takes the place of God. We know the way of the world today. The way of the world, generally speaking, is man, mind thyself. Do whatever you have to do to make sure that you're okay. It doesn't matter how it affects anyone else. It's an awful way to live. And it is ruthless and insensitive and cruel. And yet you can find it out there in the world. But you and I, as believers, we want to be very careful. And maybe you don't come to a Galilee Free Presbyterian Church, and you could live in some other part of Northern Ireland or the mainland or the Republic of Ireland or somewhere else, but you're under pressure and you feel that you've been fighting a losing battle. And while you want to love the Lord, there are other things that have been crowding in, and due to the pressure that you're under right now, one of those avenues in particular, I don't know which one, seems easy for you to go down. Maybe it is the avenue of idolatry, of letting something come into your heart. Remember how we're taught in the Word of God that we are to be focused upon Him. When we're under pressure, we are to consider Him. That is, consider Christ. Whenever we are seeking to walk with Him, we are to keep our eyes firmly fixed upon Him. We're to rely on His Word. Remember way back when God was directing Joshua, He told him to meditate in the law of God day and night. And the reason he had to do that was that he wouldn't turn to the right or to the left. And also that God, and according to his plan and purpose, would prosper the endeavors of Joshua. And folks, that is a very brief definition of idolatry. I know that in the context here in Habakkuk chapter 2, there are those who have literally been carving out for themselves those idols. We've already read the words concerning them, and people who in other ways may have been very intelligent, they're given to this idolatry and the worshipping of these idols. And while in the 21st century. Many in the West here may not do that, yet there is so much that is in the throne of man's heart. And just as these idols were in the throne of the heart of those who came to trouble Habakkuk's people, do you remember what we said? This chastening was coming because Habakkuk's people had been in some ways and in some degree involved in the very same thing. And when the Lord looks upon us, when he looks upon me this evening, he needs to see me with a pure heart. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Him that hath clean hands and a pure heart. And that's what we do when we come to our prayer meeting. We come to the throne of grace. We want to draw near to God. And very importantly, we want him to draw near to us. And I do trust tonight that we will all examine our hearts at this time. There's a definition of this idolatry. But I want to mention then the distracting of this idolatry. In verse 18 there, and I've already mentioned them, there were generally three different types of idols. There were those of wood, those of stone, and those that were made out of metal. And sometimes metal or gold or silver was put over the wood or put over the stone or both in order to make them look better. They were made very elaborate and very ornate, and they were made to be attractive to men and women. And folks, there's much out in the world. And again, Paul detailed it very carefully in Galatians chapter 5. There's much there. And maybe more so now than ever in my lifetime, there is that there which would distract you. Remember what we read in verse 4 in Habakkuk chapter 2. It said there, the just shall live by his faith. Trusting in the Lord in spite of circumstances. Trusting in the Lord when we didn't really understand exactly what was happening. Trusting in the Lord when we didn't really know what to do. The just shall live by his faith. And when difficulty comes, it's a very vulnerable time for God's people. And so it is in Northern Ireland right now. Just at the present moment, we're not able, because we feel there is a great danger or some danger in doing so. We feel that it is out of love for our neighbours that we're ministering on Facebook on sermon audio, and we're not assembling together. Hopefully things will change in the next few weeks and we'll be able to get back again. But when we're in the house and we're away from other Christians, it's a time when we can find ourselves very vulnerable and prone to turn to something else. Now think about these idols. Yes, they were made of wood and stone and metal. But you know, those who made them trusted them. They trusted them. It says there about them saying to them, awake, woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, and to the dumb stone, arise. You know, it's nonsense. But they did it. They did it. And if something creeps into your life or into mine, and we begin to make a god of it, then in some ways we trust it. We rely on it. We look to it. Over in the Psalms, in the Psalm 115, it's a great psalm with this in mind. It says there in verse 1 of Psalm 115, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. And then it goes on to tell us about idols there in verse 4. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. Verse 8, they that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. That verse shows us that men trust in their idols, but more than that, you'll have noted what I said there, what I read. They that make them are like unto them. Now, that's a pretty searching sentence, because if you and I allow something to come in and we begin to worship, and we're going to mention before the end of the message some of the things that can come in, but if we allow something to come in and it is not stopped and the flesh is battling there against the spirit, and we are pulling back in our stand, in our standard, and in our walk with the Lord, we're trusting in something. But this very striking passage in Psalm 115, not only is are the people trusting in this idol, they're becoming like them. And that is something which really causes us to stop and think. There's, of course, mockery there. They're saying the heathen are saying in verse 2, where is now their God? There's plenty of people saying that today. Where is God in the middle of this COVID-19 pandemic? Well, we know where he is. He's in heaven and he hasn't changed. And he's everywhere present. He's able to listen to you tonight as you call upon him later on in prayer. He's able to listen to me as well. And if you look here at this passage, you will see that they that make these idols, they become like them. And they're ridiculing those who trusted the Lord. But the psalm says here, they have mouths, shows us in Psalm 115 and verse 5, they have mouths, but they speak not. They have eyes, but they see not. It seems so elementary that grown-up men and women would not see the folly of being involved in such things. And yet, let's stop a moment and think. Is it not true that every one of us could in some degree find ourselves allowing something to come in and to take over our lives? At this point, I want to say we need to remember, all of us as believers tonight, whether we're in Ockley or not, or wherever you are, if you're a Christian, you're a saved man or woman, remember that you don't want to become like what you're idolizing. And you don't want to be trusting in what you're idolizing. But rather, our body is a temple of the living God. And when you think of this idolatry, was this idolatry not closely connected with all of the other woes? Covetousness, exploitation, that is mistreating other people for your own gain, selfish ambition, drunkenness, when you get to drink in and it affects your senses and how you feel. Was this not all to do with idolatry in some degree? And therefore, folks, we want to be very careful to stay close to the Lord. And what a warning there is for us whenever we think of the definition of idolatry here. Is anything that comes in as a substitute for being fully focused upon the Lord, upon his person, upon his work, and upon his provision for his people, and upon his direction for us as well. There is a definition of this idolatry, and then the distracting of it. Maybe there's someone somewhere tonight and it's got you a little bit, it's got the hook in you and it's taken you away from where you once were. Maybe someone in a place where you don't have maybe much opportunity for fellowship, and yet what you did have, been neglecting it. Maybe someone's discouraged you or someone said something that wasn't nice and you said, well, I'm not coming anymore. Or maybe someone in your family connection has said something and you're hurt by that. And overall, you're looking for something else. Something else. And that brings me to a final thought here. It is the duration of this idolatry. Idol worship is alive and well in January 2021. There are people in the world, and you know some of them, and they worship music stars. I'm not speaking here of gospel singers either, but they worship them. And there are those who worship those who are film stars. There are those who worship all kinds of things. Some worship pleasure. Now, I'm all on for sport. And there's nothing wrong with having a time of enjoyment. And the Lord has given us freely all things to enjoy in living a life of godliness. But you think of sinful pleasure. And how the world seems to be multiplying the opportunities for sinful pleasure. And maybe there's not so much blushing anymore. And everything there is right in our face. Well, Paul, when he was writing again in the New Testament, he talked about people in Philippians chapter 3 whose God was their belly. He was not referring primarily to eating too much Christmas dinner, but rather he was applying here to appetite. And there are appetites out there right now that would sicken you, that make you cringe, that really grieve a holy God. Again, folks, this could affect God's people in some degree because it is all around us. Paul said it in Romans 16 concerning people that wanted to serve their and worship their appetites or their desires and do just as they pleased. He said they serve not the Lord Christ, but their own body. And certainly this is something which can spill over into Christianity. The whole world right now seems to be saturated with carnal satisfaction. Saturated with carnal satisfaction. Paul was writing to Timothy. He said there to him that in the last days that men would be covetous. Now, as it says there, to beware of covetousness, which is idolatry. It's not tying with what we said a moment or two, that one of the other woes, indeed all of the other woes, were in some degree idolatry. And what a lesson there is for us for today. Again, you and I want to remember that the duration of this idolatry is alive and well today. And the devil will make sure of it, Christian, if you feel discouraged, that there's something else there for you to give your allegiance and your thoughts and your time and your effort to. But God calls us to follow after him. Remember the hymn writer saying, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. So while the world today is full of idolatry, and you know about that when you look around you, but you're also not stupid, and you know that this is something that can affect each and every one of God's people in some degree. Let's pray with the words of another hymn. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain. And whenever we are feeling drawn towards something else, tempted to pull back, may the Lord be pleased to help us to stay close to himself. May he encourage us as we seek to follow after him. And may we be those in these days who know what it is to continually love the Lord and have our hearts on the altar for him. Now, the next time when we look at Habakkuk, we're going to be into chapter 3. And it's a very encouraging chapter. Do you remember the start of the book? Habakkuk is very discouraged. And we said that by the end of the book, he's a man who is very delighted. And we will begin to look at chapter 3 next time. I trust that what we said will be of help to you tonight. And again, to the congregation in Agalee, please do endeavour to spend some time between 8 and 9 in prayer. Do remember the things that we've mentioned to you, including the sick. And do remember the special time of prayer, Zoom time of prayer on Saturday. There's two sessions there. You can look at that on our Facebook page. So we trust the Lord will bless you, Christian, and do you good tonight. May the Lord be pleased to bless these few words to your hearts.